Blog Talk Radio.
We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have
faith. Well, hello, 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 everyone that is currently tuned into Praise Tabernacle Tuesday Night Bible Study, our weekly Bible study that we do on a weekly basis over the airways. We'd like to say thank you for tuning in with us for another night of Bible study with our panel of Evangelist Dell Stanton, of Elder Oliver, myself, Elder Taylor, Elder Victor Bluett, his wife, Evangelist Bluett, and Minister Tolbert. So we just want to thank you guys who's ever listening in tonight for tuning in with us for another heartfelt Bible-filled Bible study. And again, we just want you to just sit back and relax and get a word from the Lord tonight, an encouraging word, an uplifting word. And we hope that you can hear something through the Bible study tonight, either from our speaker tonight or from someone on the panel that can encourage you, that will encourage you to keep pressing on towards the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. And we just want to thank the Lord for the light of another day, for giving us all the ability and breath in our bodies to see a brand new day once again. And we just want to say thank you, Jesus, for who you are and what you do in our individual lives and in our families' lives, and how you keep us and protect us through this rampant COVID era that we're going through right now, and that you will continue to watch over us and protect us all as we continue to serve you on a daily basis. So, again, my name is Elder Taylor. I'm your host, and we just want to say welcome to Praise Tabernacle Bible Study, where Bishop Omar Zachary is our overseer and pastor, along with his wife, Evangelist Zachary, and all their children. And we just want to say thank you for tuning in with us tonight. And tonight, from our panel, we have another one of our great teachers and speakers that will be coming forth tonight, a man that I have a lot of respect for him and his wife and his family, that we love dearly. And we just want you to sit back and relax and listen to the man of God, and hopefully you'll get something that you can use in your day-to-day walk with the Lord. something, maybe something that you may have heard 100 times, maybe something that you never heard before. But either way, it could be something that you can use on a daily or weekly basis in your walk with the Lord to encourage yourself, because no one can encourage you. Jesus can. And so we just want to say, get you a piece of paper, a pencil out, and just listen. And like I said, we have our panel members, a few of our panel members on right now. And when the other ones come on, we would let you know. And then at the end of the service tonight, we'll ask Evangelist Deb Stanton, and she will dismiss us and go over any prayer requests that may have come over through our internet. So here we go. And our speaker tonight will be our very own Elder Derek Oliver. Like I said, a man that I have great respect for him and his wife and his family. And we just want to let you sit back and encourage you and to listen to the man of God for tonight. Derek Oliver, Elder Derek Oliver, the floor is yours, sir.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Thank you, Elder Taylor. Appreciate it. Much respect. And to everybody on the panel, it's truly a blessing to be able to share in giving the Word of God on tonight. Normally, you know, we give scriptures out beforehand, and I've been wrestling with a couple of different things, so I really wasn't sure the direction I was going in. And, you know, the very last minute, the Lord put it together the way I think He wants it to have. I just believe we're living in a day and age where I believe we need to practice a lot of things, you know, practice. And if we don't practice things, we don't become good at anything. And I was thinking to myself and do some conversations with some people, you know, one of the questions is, how do you do what you do? How do you live a saved life? How do you operate being a Christian? I'm not talking about a person who just religious. I'm talking about a person whose everyday life is built around the center of Christ. And thinking about that, I was saying to myself, I'm saying, well, okay. And looking at some of my notes, I've learned over the last almost year and a half to being a part of this Bible study, I've incorporated some things that I got from the Bible studies. I've incorporated on how to just let things go. Now, it's easier said than done, but there's things that was holding me up. I wouldn't let go. And someone just said to me that's on the panel, just let it go. And it was easy to let it go when they said it because I was able to receive it. And when you're able to receive something, it's easy to let it go. But you got to practice. You can try it, and then it gets back on you. But at some point, the more you practice certain things, especially with the scriptures and the word, you become better at doing certain things. So tonight, I'm going to give us eight promises that the Lord wants us to have when we're going through difficult situations. Because we all are going through something. I may not be going through what you're going through. You may not be going through what I'm going through. But we all go through something. And if we can learn to practice these eight promises that God wants us to have, He wants us to have them. And if we practice it on a daily basis, I guarantee you, it will make our walk a whole lot easier when we're going through different seasons of our life. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. I got eight promises that God wants us to keep on a daily basis so we can have the life He wants us to have. And I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying if we practice it, we should be able to walk and have a freedom in Christ. And when I say that is, I'm more freer today than I was 2 years ago because I've learned how to practice on certain things. Practice. Just if it's just certain scriptures you practice every day, it makes your life that much easier when you start living it. Now, I'm not talking for people who just religious, who just come to church and don't study. This may not be for you, because if you don't study the word, it's not going to mean a healing. You just mark it in the book and close it and don't practice it on a daily basis. And part of being in a Bible study or Sunday school is you have to practice what is being taught. And if we practice it, I guarantee you, it makes your life that much easier. And I'm just stressing that for the babes in Christ, for people who are younger in Christ, you have to practice the scriptures. You have to apply it to your life. And there's some promises in here that God has for us. And the promises that God has for us, it's exciting because when you're going through difficult situations, God will promise you that he will take you through the situation. So one of my first promises that I'm going to talk about is God wants us to have a blessed life. He wants us to have a blessed life. Health and finances. He wants our whole life to be a blessing. He wants us to be able, no matter what the circumstances may be, he wants us to live a blessed life. So if you have your Bibles, my first scripture is going to go to Psalms, the first chapter of Psalms. Psalms chapters 1, 2, and chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. And I'm going to give you a minute to get it. But he wants us to have a blessed life. And like I said, this is one of the promises that God has for us. And it says in Psalms chapter number 1, verse 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in steps with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. There's two, but who delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prosper. First blessing. That's the first promise of God, is to have a blessed life. We cannot be around sinners and expect God to bless us. Or we can't be in the company of people who mock God. And it says, you know, in verse 2, but who delight is in the law of the Lord day and night. If we're delighting ourselves in God's word day and night, we'll become like a tree planted. And where we can't be taken out, we can't be tossed to and fro. We're solid. We're standing. We're not going to be wishy-washy. And this is what we have to do, is if we just keep our minds on the Lord, and if we keep our minds on his law, on his word, day and night, we'll be like a tree planted by the streams of water. And our fruit will come in season. You will see us being fruitful. That's living a blessed life. Everything may not be perfect, but you're going to steadfast because you're meditating in God's word day and night. In order to meditate in his word day and night, you have to have that relationship. You got to have that desire. You have to meditate. You have to do something. It's one thing to read the scripture, and it's one thing to do the scripture. And we can read it all day long, and don't apply it. But it says we have to meditate day and night, in good times and in bad times. Meditate on the Lord, and we will have a blessed life. It's not just about health, and it's not just about finances, but in every aspect of your life, you will be blessed, and you will see the fruits by doing that. You will be able to stand whatever the weather comes or whatever the season is. And that is my first point of one of God's promises, is having a blessed life. Did anybody have any questions on that so far?
No, not yet. Not me.
All right, my second promise that the Lord has for us is the promise. Yes.
You know, that first verse, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I'm going to tell you the truth. Even if you don't know God, just living life, being around certain people, and you pay attention to the way your life goes or the way things go in your life, you learn that automatically if you're paying attention to your life and who you're around. You learn that automatically to stay away from certain type of people. And I'm not just saying, but I'm saying anybody, even before you even know the Lord. And then once we know the Lord and study his word and know his word, then this scripture or this first verse applies. You know what I mean? So this is something naturally. And matter of fact, the word of God sometimes is natural. It's the natural way we live. And we ought to be able to understand what he's saying to us based on the reality of our own life. So I just wanted to add that little part to it.
I appreciate it. I definitely appreciate it. Yeah, basically, a lot of it is, and I don't know if I'm on the same page as you. I'm trying to be, but if you just watch what goes on in your surroundings, it's kind of like a night and day type thing. You know good from evil. You know it is what it is, pretty much. And it's just very important that we be careful for who we be around, because if you're around things that you know that are not of Christ, you could be missing your blessing. And that is something that we, and even myself, and I used this illustration before, you could be watching a football game and the atmosphere changes, and it should make you uncomfortable because of the language and the stuff that's going on, and it should make you want to leave. Not because you're doing anything wrong. It's just because you don't want to be around that type of people. And a lot of times, you know, going up, people will say, watch who you be with, because you may not be in the fight, but you could get hurt during the fight just being around those type of people. And it's so true. That's why it's very important for young Christians to be around strong, God-fearing people and not around regular people, because if you're around regular people, you could hinder yourself and miss God's blessings. Thank you. Thank you, Elder. My next promise that God has for us is the promise.
Real quick.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Elder Taylor. I mean, Elder Oliver. I would like to elaborate also on the first part of about nor standeth in the way of sinners. We can stand in the way of sinners by doing what they're doing, and we're in the way because they can't see Christ through us.
Amen.
So you're in the way because you're in their way. I mean, you're doing their way. You're doing the things that they're doing. So you're standing in the way of, you're blocking Christ. They can't see Christ through you. So you're standing in their way because you're not displaying it.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, and that's like having you're so right on that. It's like having two swords, one going in your back and one coming in the front, because if you're supposed to be the light of the world and you're there and they don't see the light, you're blocking them, and also you're making yourself look like a hypocrite because you're not explaining that light. And that's why it's very important that, you know, you be around a body of believers, so when you do go in a certain atmosphere around people, they can see the light and they can see Christ through you. If they're not seeing Christ through you, then, you know, that's a story for a different day and a message for a different day. You know, I want to question your salvation, but who am I to question anybody's salvation? But at the end of the day, if your light is not shining, then you're part of the darkness. And, you know, that's just the way it is. Let me move to my promise. Number two that the Lord has for us is the promise of peace. When life gets crazy and it starts stressed out and burnt out and you have no peace, and a lot of times we as Christians and believers, we get burnt out and we don't have peace. We're stressing. We're staying up late at night. We're worried about this, that, and that, and we don't have peace. It's very important that God promised us that we should have peace. In Isaiah, you get your Bible, Isaiah 26 chapter, the third verse of Isaiah 26:3. I'm going to give you a minute to get there, but he wants us to have peace and be a better believer. And for me to be a better believer, to walk this walk, I got to have peace. When it's time for me to go to sleep, I have to go to sleep and get my rest. I shouldn't be worried about this, that, and the other, because God promised me that I will have peace. And it says in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. And the thing about what it says is the mind. And if you keep your mind on Christ, it will keep you in peace. And for an example about that is about a mind thing now. When Peter got out of the boat, and I'm going to when Peter walked on the water, his mind was on Christ. He was looking. He was focused on Christ. That's why he was able to walk. He was at peace with everything that was going on at that moment. He was at peace because his mind was right. His mind was right. And if we keep our mind on Christ, we will be able to have peace. And we won't see the things that's coming around us. It won't affect us because we don't even know that it's there because our mind is on Christ. Now, sometimes we lose our track of mind because we look at circumstances and we lose our peace because we're looking at things and we're not looking at Christ. We're looking at situations. We're not looking at Christ. And one of the promises he has for us is to have peace. In order for us to have peace, we have to be steadfast and trust in him. And if we can trust in him and keep our mind on him, we will have the peace of God. And we will be able to walk in perfect peace. Not saying our life is going to be perfect, but we will have the peace of Christ. And as Christians, we have to exercise this on a daily basis. We have to keep our mind on Christ. One of the things I've learned from this Bible study I wrote down is I take 10 minutes in the morning and I give it to God in prayer and meditation. I try to give 10 minutes during my lunchtime so I can keep my mind. It keeps me fresh. It keeps me motivated regardless what's going on the side. A coworker could get on your nerve, but if my mind is on Christ, it won't affect me. And then people can come up, and I've had people come up to me and say there's something different about you. It's not that I'm different than anybody else. It's just my mind is on Christ. And if you keep your mind on Christ, you have peace. And when you have peace, the circumstances around you don't even affect you. And people can see that you have a peace of Christ. Anybody, anything you want to say about that?
Elder, I did want to say something about that scripture, Isaiah 26:3. That second half of that scripture is crucial. It reads in the King James Version, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You got to have trust in God in order for your mind to be kept in that perfect peace. Because, see, if you're not trusting and relying on God, then what happens is in your mind, you begin to try to figure out how you're going to work it out. You begin to try to figure out how you're going to bring it to pass. You begin to try to figure out where you're going to get the finances from. But if you trust God, because it says, because he trusteth in him, if you trust God, then your mind can stay on Christ instead of the things of the world. Because too often our focus becomes what's in front of us and what's around us, and we don't keep our mind on Christ because we're thinking about how to get ourselves out of the jam that we're in. But if we learn to trust God, well, first of all, I need to say this. There's a lot of stuff we get ourselves into.
That's right.
If we would have prayed, if we would have read our word, if we would have spent that 10 minutes in the morning in the presence of God and asked him to direct and order our footsteps for the day, that might have saved us from a lot of stuff. Because we don't seek God, because we don't consult with God, because we don't ask God, we just kind of do things on our own. And then we need God to get us out of our jam, okay? And that happens a lot with us. So we have to seek God first in everything.
Right.
And then God will prevent us from a lot of things. Now, of course, there are growth moments in our life. Don't get me wrong. We're going to go through some stuff. There are growth moments. There are things to make us stronger. There are things to, you know, exercise our faith so that muscle will grow stronger. But if we get into the presence of God, like you said, first thing in the morning, ask God to direct and order our footsteps, and then trust and listen for what he has to say and how he has to direct us, he can keep our mind in that perfect peace. Thank you, sir.
Amen. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. We definitely have to trust and keep our mind on him. And it leads into the next promise of God. And, this is what is, I'm learning to deal with this one, and it's the promise of forgiveness. And sometimes as Christians, and I'm not talking about forgiving, I'm talking about forgiving our own self. Because sometimes we feel like we fail God so much, and sometimes we take his grace for granted. We can sometimes have a pity party because we feel like we're failing God. And God promised us forgiveness. And we can't beat ourselves up because we mess up on a daily basis. If you're a real true disciple of Christ, if you're really in this, there are going to be days where you mess up. But you have to know that we serve a forgiving God. And one of his promises is forgiveness. And if you would go to your Bible's 1 John, the first chapter, it tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He will forgive us. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We have to confess it. We have to own up to it. And we can't have pity parties for ourselves when we mess up. You know, you mess up, you get back up, you ask God for forgiveness, and you keep it moving. And he said he's faithful and just. He will forgive us. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all should ask for some type of forgiveness, but we shouldn't keep it from us from doing what he wants us to do. So we have to forgive ourselves first and keep it moving and keep it moving. And we can't let other people hold whatever we have done or did, hold it over our head, because they can't judge us. And the Bible says, and if we confess our sin, if we own it,
yeah,
we say I did it, then he's going to forgive us. And then sometimes I know myself, sometimes I feel like I'm not worthy enough because I may have messed up. I may have said something I shouldn't have said. And then I start, the devil knows me, and he start putting, what, you shouldn't have did that. And see, if I can't forgive myself, and if I don't confess it, it's going to eat me up. So I have to confess it on a daily basis. Even if I don't know what I'm doing, confess it. Hey, I messed up, and keep it moving. It's not like we're living in sin. I don't want people thinking you can just live in sin and know what you're doing is wrong. I'm saying for us that are trying to live a holy life, we can't allow what we may do or our shortcomings stop us because we don't want to confess it, because we want to hide it from everybody else. And I'm just saying, if we can confess our sins on a daily basis, not to me, not to, I ain't got no business confessing my sins to anybody on the path. If I can confess it to him, keep it moving, because people will try to hold that against you, so you won't be able to grow. So one of the promises he's given us is the promise of forgiveness, if we can confess it. And in order to confess it, you got to have a relationship with him, to have that communication with him, to allow him to know that you're talking directly to him, and it's not about showboating, if I may say that. Does anyone got anything they want to say about that? And that's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9.
Yeah,
just,
verse 8 before that is, you know, I like the fact that it says that if we say that we have not no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And so we have to know, you know, that, you know, when we do when we say something wrong, when we do something wrong, and the sin that don't nobody know about, and that's a sin that we think something wrong, but the Lord knows it. And so when we say we don't sin, or we don't slip from time to time, then just like that scripture says in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And everybody is not going to always see the sin. Unless their discernment is just off the chain. Because a lot of it, or some of it, could be mental sin. You know, things that we think and don't necessarily have to say. Things that we see and then think upon those things the wrong way. So that's why it's also careful to, you know, be meticulous in what we watch, what we look at, because those put mental thoughts into our minds, and and it could be the wrong thing, and those are sins that nobody can see.
Amen.
You know, so that's why it says that we have to confess our sins to him, faithful and just, to forgive us, you know, so. But this is good stuff, man. You can go ahead now, Evangelist Bluette.
I want to make a quick comment. And when we forgive ourselves, and if you forgive others, we can't blame the other person.
That's right.
For, you know, for whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. We can't, you know, point the finger. If you forgive me, forgive me. And I'm not going to blame you for me lashing back out at you. You know what I mean? So if I lash out, we have to hold ourselves accountable for the things that we do and stop making excuses why we did it or how we did it. But just apologize and move on and learn to forgive ourselves so we can move on.
Amen. Amen. And that's one of the things about forgiveness is really an individual thing between yourself or myself and the Lord. I can't be worried about if I did something wrong to the other person. If I'm sincere and ask for forgiveness, I'm not going to stay there if they're not ready to move on. They can sit there and have a pity party and talk about me all day long about what I did. That's between them and God. But if I can forgive myself, and see, a lot of times we try to forgive ourselves, but we stay in the moment. We stay in the situation because the other person, we're letting the other person dictate to us whether we're going to move on or not. And forgiveness is between you and the Lord. Now, if that other person don't want to receive it, okay, leave them there and you keep moving. And this is one of the promises of God. We can't, he's already said he's going to forgive us. Now, whether that other person forgives us or not, that's between them and the Lord. We ain't got nothing to do with that. And just use for a quick example, and I know I'm probably being long-winded, but if I done something to Elder Taylor, he done something to me. Now, if he want to stay in there and say, well, Elder Oliver did this, and he stayed there for months and months and months, that's him between him and God. But if I asked him for forgiveness and asked the Lord for forgiveness and confessed it to him, the Lord is going to you're going to check it and keep me moving. And when we as Christians mess up sometimes, and the reason we don't have the promises of forgiveness is because we want to stay in that same realm. We want to keep fighting that same fight. And well, they ain't forgave me. They still talking about me. Well, it ain't really about them now. It's about you and the Lord, and keep it moving.
That's right.
And that's why when you have a personal relationship, other people really don't matter. And if you're doing
that's
it right.
right,
if they don't want to receive it, that's not on you. But leave that realm and keep it moving. That's one of the promises. And this is something we have to practice on a daily basis, because there's going to be seasons in our life where we're going to come in contact with that. With a leader who don't want to forgive us and want to keep us at the same level that they're at, because they're not practicing the promises that God has for us. And one of them is forgiving. And even forgiving yourself when you feel like you're taking God's grace for granted. And that's one of the big ones a lot of us, we don't talk about sometimes, is we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. And that's one of the things we have to learn to do if we confess it to the Lord. And that was my third one. Move on to my fourth promise that God has for us, and it's reaping and sowing. And sometimes we be doing good, and we do good all the time, and we're helping people, we're doing everything we're supposed to do, and it seems like all the good we do is like being on a treadmill, and it's like you're not going nowhere. And sometimes it can get frustrating, and sometimes it can get, you know, is God really honoring what I'm doing when we're trying to do good? And I found the scripture in Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 7 through 10. And it really, I like this scripture. And it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he soweth. Whatever soweth to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And a lot of times is that we're doing good to try to make ourselves look good. That's not what it's all about. But if we're trying to do good to help people spiritually, that's when we're going to reap a harvest. And that's what we ought to be about. And I've learned, being at Praise Tabernacle, I've seen some things that are a blessing. And it has helped me. That's why I can relate to Galatians 6. And even though I consider myself an old saint, I just see things. And when you see things spiritually, it is like, especially when people are working and doing good, and then they may not get a lot of credit for it, but yet they're working and they're building. They're just doing good. And I hope Evangeline Roulette don't mind me using her as an example tonight. But there was a couple months ago, I was at the food bank, and by all means, she pulls up. Now, all this couple months ago, now the whole time that I associated with the Bluettes, I never knew that she was going to the food bank every week, every weekend. It wasn't broadcast. It wasn't put in headlines. But I seen her, and when she was there, she said she does this every week. This is what she do. And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching that, and it's like, wow, I didn't know that. And I didn't know it because it wasn't bragged upon. But when people doing things like that and they're not bragging about it, you can see the goodness and the harvest that they're bringing. You just see it. You can see it in their business. You can see it in their life. You can see it. And it's not that they're doing it to boast or brag. They're doing it because this is what God has them to do. And I don't know if I'm making that so clear, but, you know, a lot of times we do stuff, and if we do it, we want to be put on a pedestal. But some people do stuff, and you don't even know what they're doing until you run across it. God will orchestrate a situation. Well, I didn't know you were doing all of that. And because they're not bragging about it. And see, sometimes people want to brag about what they do and boast about what they do. Are they really doing it for the Lord, or are they doing it for themselves? So we got to understand. Exactly. And we have to be careful with that. But I've learned just in a few short years, you know, we have to be about God's business. And we will reap. Well, if you're doing good, good things is going to happen. But if you're doing it to try to look good for self, God's not having that. He's not having that. That's why I'm so hard on Christians. We just want to look good on Sunday morning, but when it comes out that, there's no you can't find you nowhere. And what I mean can't find you nowhere is you're not doing nothing for Christ. Now, you ain't got to do it for my benefit, but I want to be doing something for Christ in all 24 hours. There's something. I just want Christ to be the head of whatever I'm doing. And I don't want to have to boast about it or brag about it in order so someone can say, hey, man, well, he's doing a great job. Now, if it comes up, this is what Elder Oliver is doing. This is what he's doing. I don't want to have to brag about what I do. So when I say that, that's what I mean by the promise of reaping and sowing is when you can do it, and you can do it from a place of a spiritual place, not from a fleshly place. Anybody got anything you want to say about that?
Yes.
If not, I'm going to move on to my fifth point, and it's the promise intimacy. And there's times in my life, you know, sometimes I don't feel like I'm close to God. I feel like the Lord has left me. I feel like he's not around. And if you go to the book of James, it says in James, the fourth chapter, eighth verse, that come near to God and he will come near to you. And what I'm saying is a lot of times God is right here with us and we move out the way. We move away from God. And as we move away from God, we want to know where God is. God is in the same place he's always been. You got to move back to him. And a lot of times we move away from him because of whatever the circumstances may be, whatever's going on in our life, we move away from him. And the thing about it is he ain't never left where he was from the get-go. You left. And if you think God is going to chase you where you at, no, he's going to wait for you to come back to where you were. And when you come back, everything, you can have that intimacy with him again. And you know, that's the promise of intimacy. Intimacy is when you can stay there and talk to God and give him what you need him to know and not walk away from him. And I know in myself, I've walked away from God a lot of times. And then I would wonder, I got walked away, where did you go? And God said, I ain't went nowhere. Where did you go? And sometimes we got to remember that we need to stay with God no matter how bad the circumstances get. Stay right there because he's going to be the one to fix it. He's going to be the one to give you the strength. He's going to be the one that will lead and guide you. So stay where you at. Don't feel like you have to leave. And if you do leave, have enough sense to come back to where you left because that's where God is. He's not going nowhere. But once you get in a relationship with him, he's not going to be chasing you all over the place when you know better. Move on to my sixth point. And my sixth promise is, and this is the one that I got, this is my hardest one I deal with. And this is when people talk about you, they lie on you, they slander your name, they gossip about you. And Jesus promised us justice in Romans chapter, the 19th verse. And
which scripture is that?
Romans, the 12th chapter.
Okay.
The 19th verse. And again, this is when people do you wrong. This is when people come out and gossip about you, make you, you know, want to lose your religion, as people say. And I read this, and it just, you know, it calmed me down. I'm still working on it. I still need a couple more days to let this enter my spirit a little bit. But it says in Romans 12:18, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. It is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And that's pretty right. much self-explanatory. We ain't got to do nothing to nobody that comes after us. We ain't got to fire back. We ain't got to get an attitude. It says revenge, leave room for God. And you know, I let him deal with it is what he's saying. He will take, he will deal with it. So when we're going through, and I have these promises of God, when we're going through our daily life, these are some of the things that will come up that can hinder us sometime from getting to the next level, having us have setbacks. And like I said, the promise of justice is one of the ones I'm dealing with right now because I want to fire back. I want to be in the fight. I want to throw some punches. But the Lord, I don't have to do it. The Lord says, let him deal with it. We even got to deal with it. And that takes a lot of stress. It takes a lot of worry off of us because the Lord is going to deal with it. I know it's hard when people you think love you, stab you in the back and you want to go after them, or people talking about you or lying on you. We want to fire back, but the Lord is telling us, do not take revenge. Leave room for God's wrath. And he says, he's going to deal with it. And that's what we have to do. And I guess, you know, a little bit of Bible study, but these are some tools and scriptures you can use to use in your daily life in order to build yourself up, to be able to handle when stuff comes up against you, you can know how to handle. You can know a scripture to use that, okay, I ain't got to deal with these people today. Lord, you said, and I can repeat this and tell the Lord what he said and remind him, he said, I don't have to do it. And if you do that and you have that type of relationship with the Lord will handle the situation the way he wants to handle it. And it leaves That's a lot right. of stress off of us. And we didn't got to deal with it. We ain't got to play with it. We don't have to go near it. Just let the Lord deal with it. I know it's easier said than done. Trust me, I know that. Especially if you like confrontation, like I like confrontation. But I'm learning to just let the Lord deal with it and let the Lord have his way. Anyone got any comments on that?
Yeah, I would like to make a quick comment. When we try to handle things the way we want to handle them, God going to step back and say, okay, go ahead. Let me know when you finish. Okay, and he will step back and let you do whatever you feel like you're big and bad enough to do. And once you finish and it don't come out the way that you thought it was going to come out or something didn't turn up, then you want to throw your hands up and like, I can't do this or whatever, whatever. Then God said, that's where I want you. Surrender. Throwing your hands up. That's where you should have been in the first place.
That's right.
So if we ever go up to something, just stop trying to handle it the way that, because God's ways are not our ways. He can get people better than we can. Trust me when I tell you. My husband will tell you. Well, I'm not even going to go into all of that. But just pull back, let go, let God, and believe me. I was trying to handle things on my own and not tell my husband about it. He was like, babe, let it play out. Just let it play out. Trust me. It's gonna work out. Just let it play out. Just let go and let God. And when I learned how to do that, things turned out so much better. It didn't come, because if we would have got the things that we wanted at that time, we would have blown it on unnecessary stuff. So let go and let God. And not just blow it. We could mess up relationships. We can mess up a whole bunch of stuff. If we get things the way that we want them, when we want them, and how we want them, we don't know how to handle it. And that's probably why God is pulling or holding back. We just have to let go and let God and just trust the process. Go back to what you said before. You'll have a lot of peace if you just put your trust in him.
Amen.
Yeah, I like to add something to that, Elder Oliver. I think the reason why some of us do that, and I can speak specifically for myself, is that, you know, we don't believe God is doing it fast enough. So we want to see immediate results. We want to see things happen. Now, sometimes it can happen, you know, fairly quickly, you know, but sometimes, a lot of times it don't. And so we don't feel like, because we're not as in tune with the Lord as we should be, we don't see it working, or we don't see any results, or we don't see anything going on right away. And so that's why we, you know, tend to get back into our flesh and begin to want to deal with the vengeance ourselves. Where he says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You know, I will repay, you know, saith the Lord. So once we let go, and like Emmanuel Blue had just said, let go and let God, you know, because he said vengeance, you know, is his. When you mess with his people, when you mess with the people that he loves, that he's taking care of, that he's seen after, the people that he's shepherding, you know, they have to deal with him. Whether they claim to be saved or in a church or not, or whether they be, you know, somebody of the world, they have to deal with Jesus, you know. And nobody can do people the way Jesus can. There's nothing we can really do to anybody that he can do it better, you know. I just wanted to add that on to that, to what Evangelist Bluette was saying there.
Well, I appreciate it, Elder and Evangelist. Thank you all for your comments. It's just very important, like I said, as we live in this world as Christian and believers, we ought to have a practice. We ought to be able to have something to look on as we go through the different seasons in our life. And that's why I was meditating on this and was dealing with this with me. And I had a question, how do you live the life for Christ? What are your exercises? What do you do? And I was just writing some things down. And I'm going to get to my seventh promise, and it's the promise of grace. He promised us grace. And I never looked at it like this before, but the Lord just put it in my spirit. If you ever felt like you couldn't accomplish certain things, if you ever felt like you was inadequate or you just didn't have the ability to certain things, when you see, when we feel like we're weak and we don't have the strength and the power, he promised us grace. And if you go to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the 9th verse, and 2 Corinthians 12 chapter 9th verse, it says, but he said to me, my grace is significant for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. When you see me and you see that I'm in a weak position, but yet God got me through the situation. That was his grace getting me through it, even though I was weak, and he got me through it. God gets the praise and the glory for it. It's not me, because there's been a lot of times I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm doing this show right now or doing this Bible study right now, because based on what the records say, I'm weak. But see, God will give you strength when you're weak. It's his grace. It's his mercy. He's going to carry us when we're not strong enough. That's one of his promises. So when we're feeling like we can't do certain things, whether it's start a business, go back to school, whatever it may be, if it's your health, if you're not in the perfect health, his grace is going to get us when we sometimes feel like we're not going to be able to make it. It's his grace.
Right.
We have to understand that that's a promise that God has given us. And if we can take some of these promises, like the promise of grace, when we're feeling weak, you don't have to stress out, because God's grace is going to get us through it. And if you tell him, that you said that my grace is significant for me and is made perfect in my weakness, I'm repeating to get back to him so when I get through it, everyone can see that was God's grace. That wasn't had nothing to do with Elder Oliver. That was all God. God got him through the situation. He gets the glory when it comes to that. And we need to take these promises of God and put them to use when the seasons of our life, when they apply, and when stuff comes up against us. And when we do feel weak, we need to understand that we can lean on the Lord, and he will get us through the situation. And if you believe it and you tell him that, trust me, he's going to get you through that situation. And then my eighth and final one is the promise of provision. And that is, you know, when you don't know how you're going to make it, you don't know how you're going to get your bills paid, when you don't know how you're going to deal with your kids, you don't have a clue of what's going on, when you're just clueless to certain things, he's given us the promise of provision. 2 Corinthians, again, the 9th chapter, the 8th verse. And it says, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's one of God's promises. And when you don't know how things is going to work out, when you feel like your bills is more than your finances, when your kids is acting crazy, when your family is doing things they ain't got no business doing, you got to understand God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And that's a blessing right there. And these promises God has given to us in order for us to make it, in order for us to go through this life stress-free. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying you're not going to have hard times, but it will make it stress-free, carefree. I'm not saying you're not going to get mad and angry. I'm not saying that you're not going to want to do things your own self. But if you take these things and you practice it, and you practice it, you may not get all 8 of them right the first month. But if you just get 1 right, then you get 2 right, then you get 3 right, pretty soon you're going to be walking in God's perfect will. And when I say walking in God's perfect will, that doesn't necessarily mean everything is perfect in your life. It just means you're focused on the Lord and stuff doesn't bother you the way that it should. And I'm trying to get that in my life. I don't want stuff to bother me to the point where I get ready to lose it. And there's a few things that if you hit a certain button, I will lose it. Working on that. That's why I'm doing this. I'm working on it, and I have to practice it on a daily basis. Don't think because we're saved that we don't have to practice certain things to get through certain seasons of our life. Some of us are a little bit more seasoned in certain areas, but there's certain areas where we're weak at that we need to practice certain things on our individual self so we can be better men and women of God. And if you're good at doing A, B, and C, fine. Keep doing A, B, and C. But if you're not doing good at X, Y, and Z, you need to practice on that X, Y, and Z the same way you did A, B, and C. Because people are watching us. And when we go out, we want to make sure that we're presenting ourselves the best Christ, and the light is shining bright. And if anyone knows where your light ain't shining bright, believe you me, they're going to be crowded around that area where it's a little dim so they can try to put your light out. And that's just what people do. That's why people come to church, to try to put your light out. Yes.
Real quick, if you have 10 buttons 6 months ago, you should have lesser buttons from 6 months ago. You should have the same 10 buttons. No, I'm just going back on what you were saying. The buttons should fall off. You shouldn't have the same buttons you had Everybody has buttons. I'm quite sure they do. But you don't have as many buttons as you had last year or the last 6 months, because we should be forever, you know, trying to be perfect. We're not perfect, but we should strive to be. So with that being said, when we're striving to be perfect, it's going to be some things that used to get on my nerves that don't get on my nerves anymore. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
As the closer we get to Christ, those buttons should be get lesser and lesser buttons. You shouldn't still have the same button. So as we grow, you know, just thank God for the buttons, because the more buttons you have, that let you know that you're not there yet.
Yeah.
Okay, and if I have one button, my one button is probably the biggest. I probably measure up to probably 20 buttons, but it's still a button. So we have to minimize the button. We have to, you know, learn how to control ourselves. Learn how to, you know, bring ourselves and our this flesh. It has to die daily. That's what your flesh dying daily. That's where the button's falling off. Once we start crucifying this flesh, we have to daily, on a daily basis, because it's going to always be something. But we just have to be ready and equipped. And they won't affect you, you know, as the closer we get to Christ, you know, they won't, things that used to get on your nerves last week, last month, whatever, it don't affect you as much. If we just learn to continue to crucify this flesh.
Amen. Amen. And then so many things, that's what I was trying to say tonight when we did these eight promises that God given to us. I know myself, I've learned over the last year and a half, the things that used to really, really bother me, it has no effect on me. And I'm amazed at it because I practice what I'm learning. I put it into practice on a daily basis. And there's still other things that I'm still practicing on. I don't want people to think that I'm delivered from everything. I still have some things that I'm working on. But I can honestly say, and then I'm going to turn over to Elder Taylor to close this out. I can honestly say, since I've been a part of this group, that's why I push Bible study so much, because stuff will fall off of you. And when you see stuff falling off of you, not only am I amazed, but I'm waiting for this next chapter, for the next thing, and the next thing to fall off. And I can honestly say this, and then Elder Taylor, it's on you. The Lord is doing something with me, because trust me, things are falling off. I'm oblivious to a lot of BS church stuff that used to really bother me. It just doesn't bother me anymore.
Yeah.
And it's not because it's because I'm practicing certain promises that the Lord has promised me, and it doesn't even affect me anymore. So it's important that we as believers practice even in areas where we're not good at, because at some point, I'm quite sure, as I go to a new level, there are going to be more issues that I got to deal with that I'm going to have to put in practice. And he won't let me get to the next level until I clear this level and I'm good dealing with what I'm dealing with right now. And he's telling me in my spirit, you can't get to that next level if you let what everybody say affect you. Because when you get to the next level, there are going to be more people that's going to be saying the same thing. And if you're still running and crying about them saying this and that, you're not ready for that next level. So it's important that we practice it. And it's also important that we acknowledge when things dissolve, when it doesn't bother us no more. We can give that credit to the Lord and keep it moving. I'm done. I hope y'all learned something. I didn't mean to go this long, but hopefully y'all learned something. And, again, I thank everybody on the panel, because y'all teach me, doing what I need to do to make myself a better disciple for Christ. With that, I'm done. Elder Taylor, it's on you.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, Elder Oliver, for the scriptures that you've given us, the eight different scriptures that you've given us. And, like, the key word that I like to use tonight is practice. You know, You know, you hear the term practice what you preach. Well, that's what we have to do. We have to practice what we preach. We have to practice what we believe to be true, you know, and that we know to be true, you know, and that we can share with other people. So it's just important to be that way, you know. Thank you, Elder Oliver, for the teaching tonight, and so we just have to continue to know what to do is right. And like you said, these 8 things that you've given us tonight, this would be something that we should always be able to go back to and address. You know, being blessed, peace, forgiveness, unforgiveness, reaping and sowing, intimacy, justice, grace, and provision, you know. And then follow up with the scriptures, you know, when we feel like we're going through something or we're dealing with something that we need the Lord to help us with. So I believe we all guilty of getting away from God at some point in our walk with him. I know I can say that. You know, I don't, you know, ask the Lord to forgive me of sins of omission and commission, sins known and unknown, you know, because you don't want to miss the mark. You know, you don't want to miss what God has for us. So just stay encouraged, everyone. Please. No matter what you're going through, no matter what we're dealing with, just know that the peace of God, you know, gives us strength past the passes all understanding, you know. And it may be hard because your flesh battles it. You know, our flesh would love for us to be miserable, psychologically miserable, mentally miserable, physically miserable, you know. So we just have to continue to press towards the things. You know, we just got to continue to press towards the things that are in Christ and continue to move forward in the things of Christ and allow the Lord to use us and be a witness to somebody else. Because, you know, some people can know what you're going through, whether you tell them or not, you know, but they can see that you're always staying encouraged. And they'd be like, wow, I could see Elder Taylor going through this, that, and the other one. But he's always encouraged. He's always has a smile. I'm just using myself as an example because that definitely is not always true. But he's always smiling. He's always got a smile on his face. He's always encouraging other people. He's always trying to be there for other people. And I can understand. But at this time in his life, he's dealing with so much. You know, and that's what we have to be, I think, as Christians, you know, like when Evangelist Louette going to the food bank, you know, regardless of, you know, what's going on around her, she continues to press and do the things of God. Because our business as Christians is to be saved and be sanctified and be filled with the Holy Ghost and to help other people get the same way and to encourage other people. And then that's their job, is to get more sheep. So that's our job. And that's how we can win people to the Lord, by presenting ourselves the correct way, in the right way. So, Evangelist Stanton, do we have any prayer requests from the email?
We do not. Not as of yet, or as of right now, tonight, we don't have anything, sir.
And what was the email again for the prayer request?
Sure. Our email for prayer request, testimony, or if there is a subject that you would like for us to do a Bible study on, you can freely email us at ptcforchrist@gmail.com. Once again, that is P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, the word for, F-O-R, Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T, @gmail.com.
Okay. Well, we got the emails been sent out there, and I just want to thank everybody that has tuned in tonight and listened to the Praise Tabernacle Bible Study on Tuesday night. And we just want to appreciate everyone that takes the time out, whether you be a member of Praise Tabernacle or not, that you just take the time out to tune in and have a listen and help, you know, and encourage us, those that are on the panel, to continue to do what we do for the Lord, you know. And so we just want to say thank you to everybody that has tuned in. Wherever you're listening from, whether it be Jamaica, Germany, England, somewhere here in the United States, if you're a Praise Tabernacle member, if you're not a Praise Tabernacle member, thank you for tuning in and listening to us another week. And so if there be nothing else, I will close us out with prayer and with our commission scripture. Dear Lord, we thank you. We give you honor. We give you glory. We magnify your holy name. We exalt you yet again. We cannot thank you enough for all the things that you say and do for each and every one that is within earshot of this prayer, that hears my voice, that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the head and not the tail. You are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. And there is no one or nothing ever like you, Jesus. And God, we thank you for your only begotten Son. For who shall ever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And we trust your word. We trust your word, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for committing the ultimate sacrifice and dying on our behalf and raising on the third day to prove you are who you say that you are. And we just thank you. We honor you for watching over us, for protecting us through our trials and tribulations, through the good times, through our bad times, but that you give us a mind and a heart to stay up on you and continue to press towards the mark of the prize, which is in the high calling of you, Christ Jesus, that we continue to press into you no matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent, but that we continue to love you and give you all the honor and all the glory, and that we trust you for life and health and strength, and that you can give us the strength to see the light of a brand new tomorrow. And we just want to honor you, Jesus, and we can never thank you enough. If we had 1,000 tongues at one time, it still wouldn't be enough for all that you've done and is doing for us and our loved ones and our families. And I want to exalt every family that's listening, every husband, every wife, every child that's listening, every prayer, the request that may have gone up that we don't know about, Lord, we pray that we know you've heard it, and we pray that you will move upon behalf of the people that need you so much each and every day. I need you every day, Lord. I need you every day. My wife needs you every day. Our children need you every day. Our panels, our pastor, his wife, their children, we all need you every day. And we pray that you would never leave us nor forsake us, and that we can always stay in tune with you, who you are in our lives. And we say thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And that our great commission, it comes from Matthew 28:19-20. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. God bless you. We love you from Praise Tabernacle Church. And thank you again. And until next time, we say go with God and be glorified in him. In Jesus' name, good night, everyone. Have a rest of a safe week. Goodbye.